Now broadcasting from the Next Gen Conservative Studio in sunny South Florida, bringing you the latest in politics, current events, and pop culture. This is the Whitfield Report with Sam Whitfield.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Whitfield Report. I am your host, Sam Whitfield, here for another episode. It's been a while since we've had a Monday show, but we've got some pretty important topics to cover tonight, or at least some interesting ones at that. Before we get started, though, as always, thank you for supporting the podcast. And as I announced this past Wednesday on the show, a new copy of Shadows of Deception is now available for purchase. You can buy the new printed version of Shadows of Deception, not a rewrite, but merely a reprinting with a new cover to match the upcoming novella that I'll be releasing in February. I'll have more details about that coming up here in the next few weeks. But you can go ahead and purchase this copy of Shadows of Deception out now, reprinted. And again, thanks to everyone who has purchased the book this year. It's really been humbling as an independent author to just get some great feedback on the book. Glad many of you have enjoyed it, and I'm excited to keep hearing some positive reviews. And book two will be out in mid-February of 2024. So thank you to everyone who has supported me and my endeavors as an author so far. And also, the podcast is back on YouTube. The channel is still gone, but you can find the audio podcast itself on YouTube if you would like to subscribe there and watch and or listen, on the YouTube music app, which also does podcasts that replace the Google Podcast app. We are over there now as well. But it'll be interesting to see which episodes stay up on YouTube and which disappear. I will be very interested to know that, for sure. And I suspect with, today's episode, this will be kind of a litmus test to see whether or not the show can actually maybe go back onto YouTube full time, or if we'll stay mainly on Rumble. So this will kind of be a litmus test, folks. But today's topic, first and foremost, is the big news of the weekend, over the weekend that happened, which is that Alex Jones was reinstated on X, formerly known as Twitter, by Elon Musk and company. This occurred after Musk conducted a poll over the weekend, late last week, in which he basically asked if Alex Jones should be reinstated or not. So for those of you listening on audio only, let me read this for you. So let's see. On December 9th, 2023, at 11:48 a.m., Elon Musk asks in a poll, reinstate Alex Jones on this platform, Vox Populi, Vox Day. In essence, there were over 1 million votes on the platform about this. Almost 2 million, actually. The poll results were pretty overwhelming in favor of reinstating Alex Jones on the X platform. It was 70% yes to 29% yes with over 1 million votes. Pretty staggering overall. And we'll get into kind of why this is important, you know. But I do want to kind of, before we get into that, I want to preface this by kind of saying that contrary to what some people may think, I am not necessarily the biggest Alex Jones fan. In fact, I don't hate Alex Jones anymore. But when when I first started my podcasting career way back in 2008, back before really the mainstream knew who Alex Jones was, I actually despised Alex Jones. Mainly because he was the 9/11 was an inside job, you know, conspiracy theory guy. And I thought the notion that the government could portray 9/11 and that the U.S. government would bomb its own, you know, would basically commit a terrorist attack on its own people. I thought that was, you know, absolutely offensive and nonsensical. And so I was one of the first people way back when to rebuke Alex Jones and what I thought at the time were some of his crazy ideas. Now, that was when I was in my early teens, starting out, you know, in podcasting. Over the years, as things have kind of progressed, I have come to realize that Alex Jones, like him or not, like all his viewpoints or not, is right about some things and has been right about some things. Most notably, ladies and gentlemen, with the fact that big tech would be in bed with the government to basically censor their enemies, for lack of a better term, to derank their political opposition, specifically with the left and with the globalists. In regards to 9/11 itself, let me just say this. I still think that Alex Jones is partially wrong. I do not believe that the government indeed perpetrated the 9/11 attacks themselves. There still is not enough evidence out there to convince me of that. What I do believe is true is that the government was massively incompetent, that the intelligence apparatus was too bureaucratic, and there were too many, you know, there was basically too much red tape between the intelligence agencies. Because people always say, oh, well, the CIA knew about, you know, the CIA knew about the, you know, potential terrorist attack before it happened, so they must have been in on it. Well, you know, that's bureaucratic red tape that basically got in the way of, you know, people communicating effectively and preventing the terrorist attack from happening. So that's kind of where I hold the government responsible for, is basically, you know, the fact that they sat on their hands, and, you know, the fact that the bureaucracy was too stuffed up and stifled to really, you know, do anything, which is still a massive fuck up, and heads should roll for that alone. And I mean, I'm not just talking about like people losing their jobs. I mean, like that, you know, that level of incompetence does maybe deserve to be jailed. But I don't necessarily, I still don't believe that the government would willingly fly two planes into the building and cause a crisis about that, right? I do, however, think that the government fully used 9/11 as an excuse to implement the Patriot Act and to enact a mass surveillance state as a result of the attacks. And Alex Jones was absolutely right about that. You know, in essence, he was right about, you know, colleges and universities basically pushing this, you know, massively left-wing Marxist communist propaganda on young students, even going so far back as like grade school and elementary school. That, you know, that's pretty much taken, you know, as truth now, pretty much. But anyway, even if I disagreed with everything that Alex Jones said, and for a long time I was kind of in that position, I never thought that Alex Jones should have been completely censored off Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or any platform. Because outside of the exceptions of like basically threatening people's lives and making active threats that would break the law, I'm pretty much a free speech absolutist, you know, with those exceptions. And I thought it was very troubling that Alex Jones was banned basically off of every single platform, basically within one day. And subsequently, many of his employees with InfoWars were as well. So Alex Jones is back on Twitter or X. And overall, you know, the platform hasn't shut down. Nothing has really broken off or been damaged or anything like that. You know, the X platform or the Twitter platform, whatever you want to call it, is still functioning. Contrary to what some people believe, you know, it's amusing because a year ago when Elon first bought the platform, everyone was saying, oh my God, it's going to fall apart. It's going to be unusable. It's going to be horrific. Twitter's going to get run into the ground within a year. Elon has no idea what the hell he's doing. All of that. Right? And I'll be honest, you know, over the past year or so, I would say, there have been some significant improvements to Twitter. There have also been some bugs on Twitter. So I want to say that the platform is completely fixed. But by and large, I would say that the platform is still usable in some ways more so than before. Elon is trying to simplify the code base. I know that. For X. And I mean, it has its bugs, but so does, you know, Rumble and, you know, all these other alt tech platforms, and even like Instagram and Facebook, you know, they're still buggy too. So I would say that as far as usability, you know, X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, is still kind of way the same way it was prior to Elon taking over. What's different, at least from my observation, is that there is more of a wide variety of opinions on Twitter. You don't necessarily see, it's not a hardcore left-wing echo chamber anymore like it was. It's more balanced. There are still left-wingers out there like Keith Olbermann who are still on the platform. And if you want proof of that, just scroll down here to this, you know, tweet right below Elon's poll where he basically calls Elon a failure and a coward, right? Elon Musk, I mean, Keith Olbermann, who is one of the most, you know, deranged left-wing lunatics on the platform and still, you know, on the platform. And yeah. Ed Krasenstein, who you know, Ed and Brian Krasenstein, who are very left-wing as well, are still allowed on the platform. So as far as X itself goes, really, not too much has changed as far as functionality goes. Now, the reason why this is a story and the reason why I'm covering this is because of another thing related to Alex Jones coming back to X / Twitter. Basically, the corporate media, ladies and gentlemen, is now reporting that basically Twitter is losing ad revenue because of this, and that advertisers are pulling away from Twitter as a result of this news. Okay, let's go to NPR here because they wrote a big thing on this today. And yes, I know, grovel, grovel, it's NPR, but let me read the headline for this, because this is kind of the meat and potatoes of what I want to get into here, folks. But all right. Okay. So, headline from NPR.org, Elon Musk allows controversial conspiracy theorist back on Alex Jones, back on X. Elon Musk, owner of X, formerly known as Twitter, announced on Saturday his decision to allow Alex Jones back on its platform. Jones generated controversy for spreading false, wild conspiracy theories, claiming that a new world order was sacrificing children on a California compound, that the U.S. government had weather weapons that triggered catastrophes like major floods, and that FBI Director Robert Mueller was a demon, which that last one was hyperbole, folks. Shortly after being formally reinstated on X, Jones and Musk joined Vivek Ramaswamy, Laura Loomer, a self-described proud Islamophobe who has been banned from some platforms and others, in a live chat on Sunday. I'm telling you, they want us silenced for what we said, said Jones. Blah, blah, blah. You know, that they talk more about this whole, you know, conversation that Jones and Musk had. Okay. Now, here's the meat and potatoes of this article, folks. It is unknown how advertisers who have been pulling ads from X over Musk's endorsement of anti-Semitic comments will respond to Jones' returns. Okay, let me read that again. It is unknown how advertisers who have been pulling ads from X over Musk's endorsement of anti-Semitic comments will respond to Jones's return. Okay, NPR, what specific anti-Semitic comments has Elon Musk endorsed? Citations, please. But no, you know, it's NPR. They won't give it to. They won't give citations. Scrolling down. Basically, they talk more about the, you know, about Jones' alleged, you know, Sandhook comments and the whole crisis actor thing. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, the whole article continues on, and it's basically about how Jones made horrific comments about Sandhook, quote unquote. But suffice it to say, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line here, and what I find so interesting, is this section right here, right? It is unknown how advertisers who have been pulling ads from X over Musk's endorsement of anti-Semitic comments will respond to Jones's return. Okay, so this is what I really want to focus on here, ladies and gentlemen. Because this is really the heart and soul of this for me, is this whole notion that having Alex Jones, or really anyone who is right of center on the platform, is somehow dangerous for advertisers on the X platform. Right, this is an argument that really makes no sense to me. that having Alex Jones on the platform would somehow cost advertisers for being on X. Because, see, the way ads work online is you target your demographics, basically. So this whole notion, I know what the argument is. The argument from the left and all these social justice freaks is basically that it'll be dangerous for advertisers because Ford might not want their advertisement to be directly under one of Alex Jones's tweet because that might be seen as an endorsement of some kind, right? That's the argument, folks. It's a very stupid one, but that is the argument nonetheless, basically. And the reason why it's so stupid, to me, it's fairly obvious, but the fact that we even have to go over why it's stupid is ludicrous. On these social media platforms, most of these advertisers, they pop up in your feed, randomly on the feed because the advertiser has targeted you as a potential, viewer and or potential buyer, right? So let me give you an example just kind of how stupid this whole thing is, right? So, and let me kind of flip the tables here, right? Because this is kind of a good example, right? So, back in 2020, when the George Floyd riots happened, there were several Black Lives Matter accounts that were actively calling for cops to be killed and for officers to be basically taken out. And underneath some of those tweets, you would see ads for anything from, Ford pickup trucks to the Sony PlayStation to Budweiser advertisements, just as an example. Now, the argument that some of these people might make by the logic of the left is that because the Budweiser ad appeared below this Black Lives Matter tweet about all cops should be killed, that must mean that Budweiser endorses cops being killed, right? Well, no, that's That's stupid. Unless Budweiser themselves were to come out and make a tweet saying that, if I just see their ad directly blow a tweet that's controversial, all I'm going to assume is that I'm seeing the ad because that's where the algorithm put in my feed. But I don't assume that every ad that is below a tweet is an endorsement of said tweet, right? Same thing with YouTube videos and even podcasts to a certain extent. Now, podcasts are a little different because if it's like a host read ad, if it's a host read advertisement, then that's a little different because obviously you're paying for the host to, you know, read the ad. But if it's just like a 30-second pre-roll ad for like, you know, again, Budweiser or Ford trucks or whatnot, and it's automated, well, I'm going to assume that that's just the advertising agency or what it, or whatnot putting that stock advertisement in front of the podcast before it begins playing, right? Advertisement does not necessarily equal endorsement of something. And this is something that primarily people generally understood this back, you know, before 2016. You know, it's pretty funny because Alex Jones had been on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube for years, and years. And no one had really had a problem with him, seriously, up until 2016, once Trump ran. And then he went from being this, you know, kind of obscure figure to all of a sudden the biggest boogeyman on the left, right? But prior to that, none of these advertisers knew who Jones was, much less really even cared about him. So, you know, and the fact that Jones tweets were on there, like, I've never heard anyone say, I'm not going to buy a Ford truck because I saw an advertisement directly below a Joe Biden tweet, right? So therefore, Ford must endorse Joe Biden, right? No one has ever said that. So it's kind of ridiculous, right? Most people, your average consumer, knows that advertising does not equal endorsement when it comes to business products. And so the logic that Alex Jones is, you know, that that's going to cost X, you know, advertisers in the long run, I don't see that happening unless a lot of these left-wing activists continue to pressure advertisers to drop you know, advertising from X. But they've been doing that pretty much since Elon Musk took over the company, because Elon is the new big bad for wanting free speech. So it doesn't really matter in the long run. Now, I think Alex Jones being back is a huge win for free speech overall, even if you don't agree with him. I think it's better to have more voices than less overall. And I mean, I would go so far as to say, And I don't like, you know, any of these people, but like, I would say that even people like Nick Fuentes and even people like Ethan Ralph, both of whom I despise, they deserve to be back on Twitter slash X, so long as they don't threaten anyone or, you know, cause them actual harm. And I don't mean just, you know, words. I don't mean the whole words equal violence type of harm. I mean, like, actual, you know, violence. And that does include doxing. I will say that. So, but I don't think, like, necessarily hate speech should even necessarily get you banned off Twitter. I tend to think that the only way to combat hate speech is more speech. And that seems so fundamental to many of us who are kind of in my circle, but it needs to be said nonetheless. So, like I said, you know, Alex Jones back on Twitter, that's the big news, at least for this first portion of the week. Corporate media is really upset about it. And yeah, not too much else to say about that. Also, the other big news is, like, I guess Tucker Carlson is starting his own, like, website, but that's not really all that surprising. It kind of seemed like he was going to, I guess, start his own paywall website. You know, it seemed like a fairly obvious step for him. Not really surprised. I will be curious to see where it goes in the long run, but overall, I think it should be pretty good. And I don't know if I'll sign up yet, but if I do, I'll be sure and let people know how it is. All right, so there's just a quick one for you folks. Hope you all are having a good start to your week so far. I'll see you on Wednesday with Max. And until then, God bless. God save this great nation. God to freedom and legacy in that order. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to The Whitfield Report on the NGC Network. Please visit Sam's website at www.thesamwhitfield.com and support Sam on Patreon at patreon.com/Whitfield Report. Until next time, God bless. God save this great nation, and God, freedom, legacy, in that order.